Hello, everybody, and welcome to football season. It's almost here, 24 hours away by the time we actually drop this, and we are bringing you one last episode of the Holtcast for the summer. Jack is busy out somewhere in the wilds of Western North America, somewhere between California and Canada. I'm not exactly sure where, but we wanted to make sure to bring you an episode anyway, so we are bringing on for his Holtcast debut, James Rushton, making his debut. Welcome on, James.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we're glad to have you here.
Yeah. I mean, I listen to this podcast almost every week when I can, so obviously being a part of the team, but it's still pretty cool to be on a podcast you listen to, so yeah, yeah. It's pretty weird, yeah, a bit surreal.
We're glad. If you don't know James, you should definitely know his work on the site. He's done some fantastic stuff, including a story yesterday by the time this drops that's not uplifting or happy, but a really good story about Villa Park's disability seating. And what did you find in that story?
Oh, I don't know where to begin with this story. I mean, looking, it's just on the BBC, just general looking for Villa news when that's not on here. Something might bigger might be going on. I saw this story about Premier League letting down their fans, and obviously, initial thoughts, oh, it's obviously Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool letting them down. No, in fact, it's actually Aston Villa, who are meant to be one of the biggest supporters of their community, but they're clearly failing in one key aspect, and that's letting people who are less able-bodied into the ground. So yes, I felt something needed to be done. That wasn't really what I was thinking when I wrote it. I just wanted to write it, but clearly there needs to be something done, and I hope people getting angry and speaking about it is the first step to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you found something along the lines of UEFA has a recommended number of seats for disabled people in Villa are somewhere around 41%, was it?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty hard report to read. I'm no analyst. I can't really differentiate between the statistics. But this quota was set in 2004, and it's, what, 11 years later, almost 12, and Villa are 49% of that quota. Whilst clubs like Swansea are 121%. It's kind of not on. But there we go. Hopefully that can be sorted in the future. I mean, it is a pressing issue. But I'd rather see the club stay up, I think, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. If they stay up, they'll be able to have the money to be able to sort out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Everything comes down to getting it right on the pitch. So there we go.
Absolutely. And we reached out to the club. They may have made a comment by the time this podcast drops, so check the site. But you would also know, James, if you haven't yet, please do start from running our Facebook feed. He turned it into from a feed that just dropped a story every now and again to something that's actually enjoyable to follow. So make sure you check out our Facebook page. It is all the great work of James there. But that's not what we're here for today. We're here today to pump up the 2015-16 season. Where do you think Villa finished? Let's start with the big question.
Flipping hell. It could be anywhere. We could get relegated or we could finish eighth. It's one of those ones. It really is. I mean, I was speaking to my dad about it the other day. He's always my benchmark for where my opinions lie. If it's following his, I know I'm dead on. And he goes, if they don't gel, we're going down, all these new signings. But then again, if they do gel, we're up there. We could be having nosebleeds from the altitude.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The thing that really strikes me about the Premier League is it doesn't take a lot to get from, 12th to 8th. There isn't a huge difference there. And I think we saw under Sherwood last year, this was a team that, had they been under Sherwood all year, probably could have finished in that 12th range. And so 8th seems plausible. Do you think we've improved from last year?
It's hard to say. I mean, there's been a lot of talk recently about how much we moved on from the FA Cup final. We've lost and gained so many players just in a space of a few months. It's hard to say if we've improved. I mean, watching players like Amavi in the Nottingham Forest game, you think, wow, we've got something special. Then you'll see Gabby of Anglehorn fall on his arse and you think, oh, same old, same old. He's just got a fresher, a fresher left back. So hopefully we'll see when Saturday comes.
Yeah, absolutely. Is Amavi the player you're most excited about?
Oh, no, I have to say it's Rudy Gisted.
Yeah?
I'm really excited about that because you don't know what you got with him, but looking at what he did for Blackburn last year out of nowhere, I mean, he's going to have a better supply at Villa, and hopefully he's a bit unexpected. He can get the drop on a few people maybe that haven't done the best scouting on him, maybe, or their scouting goes on people like AU, So hopefully that can be our surprise package and he can really deliver for us. So I'm really excited to see what he can do.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a story dropping later today in which I make the point that I think Rudy Gestede was someone who was made for Jordan Amavi.
Oh, yeah, completely. I mean, if Sinclair can get on the end of him, and he's not the tallest fella, is he? And, you know, if Gestede's there waiting for that ball to drop in, I'm not sure where he's scoring ends, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing I've heard from a lot of other Premier League fans is that they think Gestede is a little bit overrated. And I can kind of see where they're coming from. You know, he's not proven in the Premier League and everything. Do you think his aerial game, that's the part I'm really counting on, his aerial game translating. Do you think that's where it's at, or does he have some other skills that could really help us?
I've seen he's a pretty good finisher. I mean, he's at the same level as Gabby's finishing, and he's not the worst finisher, is he, Gabby? So, yeah, I think he's all right. I mean, when I watched the highlight video of him, all I saw was this one header, and he comes out of nowhere, and this is like a total computer game header. He hits it from the edge of the box with his head, and it's going at such a pace no one can see it. And if he can pull stuff like that for us at the Premier League level, I'm not sure where it ends with him. Overrated, I can see that. Yeah, I can totally see that. But who isn't? I mean, Liverpool fans thought Benteke was overrated until he scored for them. So yeah, overrated, where does that end? I mean, everyone can be overrated.
Did you see that Benteke goal, by the way?
Yeah, I mean, I'm friends with a Liverpool fan at work, and he was raving about Benteke, and that was the first thing he sent to me Monday morning. Look at this goal, and I was like, well, I've already seen it. I'm a fan of the player.
It was, if you haven't seen it, just, you know, search YouTube for Benteke Liverpool goal. It was
insane.
He gave them his best goal as his very first one for them ever. I mean, it was the perfect Benteke goal.
Yeah, I think it might have been yourself that said this, but I did see something where it's like, if you see Benteke chest the ball on the edge of the box, you know something insane is going to happen, and that is the perfect truth. He'd done it against Manchester United, and he'd done it against Swindon. I know there's a big gap between them, but still, that level. I've just, you know it's when it's going to happen. He's got his tells, if you will, of when he's going to do something insane, and you know just to watch. And hopefully, I mean, he's gone now, but I hope Liverpool fans do get the enjoyment we've had out of him. So, yeah. Not against us, though, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I hope he gets injured against us, or, you know, lightly injured, nothing terrible.
Yeah, of course.
Lightly injured before he has to play Aston Villa.
Yeah, maybe a bit of a sniffle, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's got a cold. He can't play today.
Yeah.
He's got the Villa Park diarrhea that we had against Arsenal.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got that. We've got Idrissa Gueye. Since the last time we podcast, we added... God, who all did we add? We added Gestede. We added Jose Angel Crespo.
Oh, yeah. No, who can forget him? I mean, he's one of Villa's most forgettable performers. I mean, so far, I mean, he's already been injured, but he's just face. You know him. I mean, you can't forget that image of his face and his beard and, you know, these mannerisms. And he just looks a bit Napoleon Dynamite. And I mean, I can see him becoming quite a Mustafa Salafu fan favorite.
Exactly. I think he's going to be one of those players that plays, you know, once every month or so, and fans just love him.
Yeah, he might score the odd goal against, like, Blackburn in the FA Cup, and that's it, him done, his career highlight forever.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Antonio Luna getting that first goal against Arsenal and then disappearing forever.
Yeah, I mean, he could have played as bad as he did, but that goal against Arsenal sets him up. I mean, you can't hate him after that.
Exactly. So... you would say overall this was a pretty successful summer, despite losing a few key players?
I mean, I've seen some people comment in The Guardian and, you know, the big newspapers saying this is probably one of the best transfer windows a club has ever had, considering what we were facing. We were definitely facing losing Benteke. We were possibly facing losing Delph and much more. We possibly faced a team show against that because we didn't even know who would buy the club. And, you know, the turnaround he's had, we've filled every... hole that we've had in this squad, I mean, and more, and then some. You know, we've added creative players. Carlos Hill has stayed. We're keeping Jack Grealish. We've got so much creativity at the front. I'm worried where it'll all go, because you'll have to get rid of some of these guys in the future. But yeah, I think it has been, if not one of Villa's best transfer windows, it's been one of the best transfer windows for a club in recent memory.
Yeah, especially when you consider how limited Villa have to be financially.
Yeah, I mean, they sold Benteke and Dalph and managed to get almost a whole entire squad out of those two players of, I wouldn't say equal ability, but definitely within touching distance of those players.
Yeah, I'm not sure if anyone's... I think maybe we found someone of the equal to Delph. No one's going to go close to Benteke.
Oh, no. But
there was so much improvement in other positions that I think it comes out as a net gain.
Yeah, I mean, between Veretout, I'm not sure if that's how you say his name. I haven't heard it yet. Veretout and Gay, I mean, you've got two Delphs there, essentially.
And,
I'm really excited to look what these guys can actually do. I'm not even sure how we can fit them onto the pitch, if I'm being honest. But it's definitely looking to be shaping up to be something special.
Yeah, it there's a lot of potential there. And Veretout,
yeah.
Jordan V.
Yeah.
Jordan V is sort of almost becoming the forgotten player because we've only gotten to see him for about 40 minutes in preseason.
I completely agree. I mean, it's hard to remember. I mean, there's the memorable players because of their appearance, like Gested and Crespo. There's some memorable players of performance, like Gay and Amavi. And then you've got Jordan V on the side, and you're not sure where he quite stands within your memory. But then, obviously, he'll come onto the pitch come the season and do some amazing stuff, hopefully. That will get you secure his place in the team.
And a player who really wanted to be at Villa, his old club president, let him go for cheaper,
yeah.
If we believe the guy. Let him go for cheaper just because Jordan wanted to be at Villa so badly.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I fully believe him when he says that, but I'm not. Obviously, the money's not going directly into his pocket, that 10 million, 15 million, whatever. But yeah, I mean, that's quite a statement to make. I mean, Leicester and Villa aren't too far in distance, but they are in that quality of the club. Villa have got a lot more history, a better history, a better feeling than Leicester at the moment. They've had a few dodgy months, and we probably won't go into that. If you've read my articles, I've went into that a bit too much. But yeah, I'm not surprised he chose Villa. I'm not surprised the president let him go to Villa.
Yeah. Speaking of Leicester, you recently penned maybe my favorite series I have ever seen at the site, Reasons to Hate Every Single Premier League Team.
Yeah.
Let's dive into this really quickly.
Go ahead, yeah.
Who do you hate the most?
I did say Tottenham yesterday, but I think I've lightened up on that. It has to be Leicester, I think. They have this attitude I don't like. I mean, on the pitch, when you see Matt James square up to Kieran Clarke, and you're like, you're just a small club. Keep it down. If you stay up, that's good. Just keep your respectability. I know Villa haven't had the best in terms of respectability, in terms of fighting on the pitch and crowding the ref and getting sent off. But what I saw against Leicester made me actually hate them. squaring up, kicking off, trying to get people sent off. And Nigel Pearson is there's many words I could use to describe him, but complete sociopath is probably the most descriptive. He's an evil man, to put it simply.
Did you even spare a thought for Leicester before last season?
No, not really. I think I kind of liked them before last season. I mean, they were all right. I kind of like Wolves. I kind of like Warsaw. Leicester were kind of there, Coventry maybe, in terms of Midlands clubs. But Leicester really annoyed me last season. Just the way they were in both matches, the way they hated Alan Hutton for scoring against him. I mean, I don't get that at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand them hating Kieran Clarke for like smacking one of their players about. But Alan Hutton just scored against them, and he doesn't score much, so I think you just let him off with that, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm not sure I've ever had a club go from I have no feelings about them to hatred more quickly than I did with Leicester.
Yeah, I mean, I've obviously spoken a lot about my history with West Bromwich in articles and in my personal life. But to be honest, Leicester, I actually almost hate them as much as Birmingham City. there's no question, because it's that rivalry developed on the pitch, not just because you're close. It is developed on the pitch. I mean, when Leicester and Villa do play, you've noticed over the three games they played, it was just getting more and more ferocious until Clarke had done that astonishing tackle in the FA Cup, and you could tell he was going in for the red card, then he was going to nobble that player. He got away with the ball, completed this amazing tackle. Everyone's furious, and then now we've got this whole storyline going into this season of where will they stand and where will we stand, and we'll be facing off soon. So hopefully there's some fireworks to be expected.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, in the interest of keeping this, quick and tight today, let's turn to Bournemouth here. Bournemouth making their first ever Premier League appearance. Is this a match that Villa have a hope in hell of winning?
Yeah, I mean, they have to. If I'm being completely honest, they have to win this. Otherwise, you don't know where we could end up. come the end of the season, I mean, last season, you're looking at the league table, you see we're 6 points off being in a really good position. This is a 3 points we can pick up that we will need come the end of the season. I mean, we're not sure where we'll end up. So any 3 points that looks like we can get, even if it's a, you know, 1-0 win away at Southampton or a 3-0 win at Bournemouth, you've got to take it. And yeah, I think Villa have to win this and they should be winning this.
Yeah, I think there's a really decent chance they lose come next Friday against
Manchester United
because we literally can't beat Manchester United. So this is the chance to solidify all the good feeling from the summer.
Yeah.
Put Villa, everything into action and say this is what Villa are going to be.
Yeah, Villa haven't got the roughest first couple of months. I mean, there is a few dodgy spots, but they need to pick this as well. They need to pick up the points. So unfortunately, we have got a lot of those new players who do need to gel. So if we can hit the ground running, we should have an amazing first start of the season to set us up for the Christmas period. But yeah, I can't see us beating Manchester United at all. I mean, we'll just have to go at them and we'll lose 6-0, but you know, we've got to go for it, I think. If we sit back, we're beaten. If we go for it, we're beaten. Just go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. So against Bournemouth, who do you put out there? Which of the new players get a run out for you?
Verratu, Gay, obviously, Amavi, no question. Richards, no question, he's the captain.
You kind of got to put the captain out there.
Yeah, I like how they made Gabby the club captain because he's not really good enough to be the actual captain, so they made him just this captain. Yeah. But nonetheless.
You're the mascot of the team. That's basically what they said to him.
Yeah. I mean, I think I wouldn't start Gestede. I think I'll keep him as a super sub. Him and Gabby come on in the second half, maybe, if we're 0-0.
So you maybe do like an Ayew Kozak up top?
Yeah, definitely. That's what I'm thinking. It is kind of like a Benteke-Gabby pairing in the sense that one's fast and a tiny bit skillful, and one's just big and clever and is good with his feet, like Kozak is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, in terms of the wings, I'd just like to see Hill and Sinclair, maybe just a basic, simple 4-4-2.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see Hill because I think he's still nursing that back from Swindon.
Yeah, I keep forgetting if it's Rachel Hill. Oh, that's just upsetting. I really want to see him just kickstart a really good season.
Yeah, I think he will, but I definitely think we see Sinclair. I mean, if we weren't going to, the hat trick against Nottingham basically ensured that he gets at least
one start. Yeah, I mean, he's just a better Gabby, isn't he, really? He's exactly the same, but he's just a better one.
Yeah, he's not quite as pacey as Gabby, but you know, the way Gabby wastes possession, the way he wastes chances, there's no point in all that pace.
I completely agree. His first touch is so bad. His second touch is a sliding tackle, not just a tackle. He has to do everything to get it back.
At this point, his pace is almost a liability because it really just means, because we know he's going to give the ball away, it just means he gives the ball away more quickly.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those players, and you don't know what you've got. He can end up being Villa's top scorer come, you know, next May, just because of lucky goals, because he's always there in the right place. But starting off, his pace is so bad, it sometimes gets him goals because it just bewilders the defence. And sometimes he ends up booting it into the corner flag because it bouts off his shin pad. I don't see Gabby starting much games, if any, to be honest. He's a super sub at best. And I mean, that's a great role for him, to be honest.
Let him start cup matches, maybe.
I mean, I'd like to see, hopefully, Callum Robinson and a bit of Gestede get a few games under them. But, yeah, I can't see why he wouldn't start. I mean, he's still got a bit of that. He used to be on the wings with Ashley Young, so maybe there's a role for him there. I can't see that, though, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that pretty much covers it. We just wanted to be short and sweet today. Any final words, any final thoughts before we head into what is sure to be maybe not a great season, but sure as hell a different season than anything we've had for half a
decade. Yeah, I think I'd just advise Villa fans to keep an open mind about this season because it could drastically go both ways. I mean, we could be a championship club come May if it all goes to pot. But I can't see that happening. I mean, at worst, we're looking at 16th possibly. At best, we could be 8th, 7th. So yeah, just keep an open mind and just follow the club.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think the words to keep in mind for the first month are don't freak out.
For a month.
And I mean, there's so much potential there that I think it can turn around really quickly once it does turn around.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you lose against Bournemouth, Man United, keep going on losing. then worry. But if we just lose against Bournemouth, I can't see us being that bad. I mean, we'll have to pick up points somewhere, and we always do. We've come close to relegation last year. We've got a better squad than last year. So I can't see us getting relegated. But there you go. It's Villa. Anything could happen.
Well, exactly. So, well, thank you so much for taking the time today. Make sure to follow James. It is at Jamo Rushton, correct?
That's the one. Yeah. That's
Jamo Rushton. And, of course, you can follow us at 7500 to Holt or check out the site. We will have going up, this will drop about 24 hours before the first match. We've got a couple of preview essays coming up today. We've got our How to Watch Match video. Alex will have a match preview up today. And be sure to check out, I've left it right on top of the front page for everyone to be able to look at, our season preview module. We've got all sorts of great stuff, including a look from Herbert on some of the dilemmas that Tim Sherwood faces. We've got some betting odds. And we've got Adam's really excellent tactical look at what the season has to come. So that's it for today. We'll be back next week again. And thanks, as always, for joining us on the Holtcast. For James Rushton, I'm Robert Lintott. Have a good one, and up the Villa.